Good morning again. It's good to be in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jonah, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. Today I'm preaching on a God of second chances. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And dear God, we thank you, Lord, for second chances that you give us each and every day. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace that you extend it to us every day. And Father, today, if there's someone here, Lord, within the sound of my voice, God, that's been wandering from you, Lord, we just pray today, God, that you will speak to their heart and move upon their life, Lord, and draw them back to you. And we're so thankful. And Lord, let this message be preached, God, only from your Holy Spirit, nothing from my flesh or my thoughts. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, a few weeks back, I'd preached the message about Jonah and how Jonah had rebelled against God because God told Jonah, "I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach this message of salvation to the people." And Jonah got angry at God and he didn't want to go there. So as he rebelled from God, well, you know the story that Jonah ended up in the belly of a great fish. And it's pretty sad that God has to get us sometimes in certain positions to make us open our eyes and see what He wants us to do. So after the fish had, I'll say this nicely, he just regurgitated Jonah back out onto the shore, Jonah came to his senses. And we see that in that scripture I just read, that God is a very patient God. God is very loving. God is very understanding. Sometimes I think people get the wrong idea about God. I've had people tell me, well, God is this big, great, mighty guy on the throne, and he's just ready to lash out upon us. And, you know, God does discipline us when we need it. But the Bible says that God is a loving God. God is full of compassion and God is full of mercy. And even in the midst of our sin, and when we run away from God or we disobey His commandments, God is so patient with us. God is just like the father of the prodigal son. The prodigal son left home and the father prayed daily that his son would return home. And I believe in the same way. You see, we have an advocate that speaks to the Father for us, and that advocate is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I tell you what, I believe in my heart that Jesus sometimes prays on our behalf when we do go astray. So Jonah was given a second chance because he had turned from his wicked ways. He had turned from his arrogance, his ignorance, and he was given this second opportunity. And you know, I want you to know this today. It doesn't matter what you have done today or in your past. I want you to know that God is a God of second chances, because He does give us that mercy. It's the death and the burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the shedding of that precious blood that was shed, and that blood was poured out upon the mercy seat of God to prepare for us a place in heaven. And because of that, we have this new covenant, this new blood covenant with God the Father. So I hear a lot of people a lot of the times just say, "Well, I'm afraid to do wrong because God's going to strike me down. Or I said something bad the other day and God's going to make my tongue swell up in my mouth because I was..." Well, you know, God's not that kind of God. But we know that God is a God of second chances because look what He's given unto us. Now, there's been times that God wanted me to do things, and I told God there's no way that I'm going to do that because I don't want... No, I remember one church He wanted me to go to, and I didn't want to be there. Boy, I was miserable. Boy, I mean, I fought God all the way, and it didn't go very well. I never went back to that church. But I learned right away that when God says, I want you to do something a certain way, my ears are open fully, and I listen to the Lord. Now, I may not listen as well to some people, but I know I definitely listen to the Lord. God is a merciful God. In Psalm 100, verse 5, the Bible says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." So, God's mercy, it's everlasting. That means it never ends. We are given His mercy day after day. Do you know that if you fail 100 times in one day, do you know that God extends His mercy to you 100 times in that day and even more? Do you know that God never gives up on us? God sees us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of times that people have done wrong to us, and there's a lot of times that we get this arrogant spirit and we have an unforgiving attitude toward people and we don't extend the mercy like we ought to. Now, if God's a merciful God and His mercy endures for all of eternity, and if we are to have the kind of love inside of us that God shows us, then we should also show mercy to people around us. There's somebody in your life that's going to hurt you at some point. There's somebody that's going to say something. They're going to do something that you don't like. And you know where it mostly happens is a lot of times it happens either in the home or it happens in the church family. I know a time where people would hop churches a lot. They would go to one church and as soon as they saw something happen wrong, they would go to another church and they'd stay there a short while and then something wrong happened there and they go to another church. See, people are always trying to find a perfect church. And guess what? There isn't one. There's not. As long as you and I live in this flesh, the sin is still there. But see, with this mercy, we have to lay that flesh down every day and we have to tell the Lord, "Father, I nail that old flesh to the cross so that I can live by the Spirit." And we, as Christian people, we should seek to live by the Spirit. And it's not hard to do. I preached last week on choices. Oh, well, you got a choice. When you get up of a morning, you could be negative or you could be happy. That's your choice. And as God's people, we ought to choose to be happy. Because number one, if our sins are forgiven multiple times in a day and there's no end to that mercy and there's no end to that forgiveness and that love, and we know that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, that should make us the happiest people that are living on the face of this earth. To know that Jesus Christ died for us and we have a home in heaven waiting. The Bible says, "In my house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you." And Jesus said, "If I go to prepare a place for you, then where I am, there you may be also." So that should make us a driven type of people that we should seek out every good thing in life. And I've had some people say to me, "Now, Brother Jim, it's difficult for me because I was raised in an abusive home, or I wasn't loved enough," or whatever. Well, you can come up with all the excuses and all the things you want to come up with, but ultimately, We have to be responsible for ourselves and our own actions. Nobody else is responsible for them. Now, I'll say this. My dad was an abusive person, not physically. My dad was very abusive with his words. And for many years, I saw a very unhappy, angry person. And I never could figure out what it was I had done to make him so mad at me. Why did he hate me so bad? But you know, when I finally came to the realization as a Christian at the age of 19, I started to realize that there was a history there in my dad's family. And my dad was not really taking responsibility for his choices or his actions, which led to consequences that he had to face. But I do remember that when 4 months before my dad passed away, I was over at the house one afternoon and my dad started to cry. And my dad said, "Son, I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay, Dad, well, what about?" And my dad started to apologize for all the years. All my dad was a name caller. My dad would slander you something fierce. And if he didn't get his way, watch out. Boy, them words. He used words like a double-edged sword. He would use them words to cut people down. And it's because he had a lot of hurt and anger inside. But as he told me, he was sorry, and he basically confessed everything he had done. My dad asked me, he said, "Son, will you please forgive me?" And he was crying. I'd never seen my dad cry before. My dad was a very prideful man, very arrogant. And as he said all that, the enemy is over here going, "Hey, now's your chance to tell that buzzard what you really think of him, how he hurt you. You let him know, and you lash it out." And over here, the Holy Spirit of God is saying, "I have shown you so much love and mercy in the worst days of your life. When you've turned against me, when you have spoken against me, when you have had disbelief, I have loved you through it all, and I never changed my attitude towards you." So you remember that. The only thing I could do was wrap my arms around my dad's neck. Not choke him or nothing. I didn't wrap him around his neck and choke. I just wrapped my arms around him. And I said, "Daddy, it's all right. I love you and I forgive you." I had to choke down a lot of pride that day. I had to choke down a lot of self. It didn't feel good going down. But I tell you what, that was the best 4 months I had ever had with my dad. So when people ask me, "What was your dad like?" Well, I could go back to here today and tell you all the bad, or I could go back and look at the last 4 months of the greatest times and days I'd ever had with my dad. And I remember when my dad went into the hospital one day, I was up in the ICU, and again, I laid my head on my dad. I sat there on the edge of his bed, and I laid my head over on him like any little kid would have done. And I said, "Dad, please don't die." I said, "Because there's so much more I want to do with you down the road that we didn't get to do." And my dad said, "Oh, I'll be all right, son." Well, I didn't have just a little more time with him after that my dad passed away. But you know what? The Father extends that kind of mercy to us. And there's times we may not feel like doing it, but we got to. If we expect God to forgive us of our sins, then we have to forgive other people even when they've done wrong to us. I've had people hurt me in the church, and I tell you what, there's been some bad situations I've been a part of. Things that I didn't even do, but people just turn on you And I'm thinking, what's wrong with you people? You're supposed to be Christians. This is supposed to be God's house, not a place of persecution and gossip and resentment and hatred. This is God's house. What is wrong with you? And I've had things happen that I've walked out very angry. I mean bitter. And I vowed never to forgive. And I would live day after day with that unforgiveness in my heart. And it was some of the worst days of my life that I had to go through, and I had to deal with my own self. I had to deal with my own attitude. And it wasn't until I finally said, Lord, I forgive these people for the wrong they did to me, that I felt God extend that mercy and His love, and God healed those areas of my life where I had harbored the unforgiveness and the bitterness. And the good news is that God has this truth, His truth and His mercy. It endures to all generations. It means it never quits. It keeps going and going and going. God showed mercy toward Jonah and gave him that second chance. And Jonah went and preached. If you read on in the book of Jonah chapter 3, Jonah went to Nineveh and he finally started preaching to those people. And there's a lot of people got saved. Now there's times that God's going to send you somewhere, that God's going to want you to do something. And let me encourage us all to do something. Don't tell God no. Don't tell God, I have a better idea. I have a plan that's infallible, Lord, if you'll just listen. There is no bargaining table with God. With God, it's His way or no way. Now, I heard this saying before, if God brings you to it, God will get you through it. And if God's going to get you through something, don't you think He'll be there with you each step of the way? He certainly will. That's what I love about Him. I got to tell you this funny little story. There's some preachers, they was having revival services down in Mississippi. And every night before revival service, they was going to a different house to have a meal. Well, on Monday night before revival, these preachers showed up at this lady's house, and boy, there's some good smelling fried chicken, and they all ate good. But then the second night before revival, they went to another lady's house, and they said the blessing, and the woman come out, and she had another platter of fried chicken. The third night, they went to another lady's house before revival to eat. And when they was praying, the smell of fried chicken come through again. So finally, this one preacher said, now look, he said to one of the deacons in the church, he said, now look. He said, now, we appreciate the food. We really do. But he said, man, we've had fried chicken every night already. And this deacon says, well, now tomorrow night, y'all are going to be eating at Miss McGillicuddy's house. And he said, boy, I guarantee you, Miss McGillicuddy, she's going to cook everything good. You'll have something different, I promise you. He said, just give us another chance. We'll make it right. Well, the next evening came. Them preachers, everybody was gathered there at Miss McGillicuddy's house. And boy, the doors to the kitchen was swinging and all these different smells. You couldn't tell what was being cooked. And so Miss McGillicuddy come out into the dining area in the living room and she said, all right, if you all want to, go wash your hands and somebody want to say the blessing. Well, this one preacher who had the gripe, he said, well, I'll be glad to say the blessing. And just about the time they was bowing their heads to pray, Miss McGillicuddy come through the doors and she had a big platter of Southern fried chicken. chicken. So as she set that table or that plate down on the table, that preacher prayed, and this is what he prayed. He says, "Oh Lord, chicken." He said, "We've had it hot and we've had it cold. We've had it young and we've had it old. We've had it tender and we've had it tough." He said, "But Lord, don't you think we done had it enough?" So see, sometimes we have to extend mercy and grace to others. Secondly, God is patient. Romans 15, 5 and 6. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Romans says that God has patience toward us and that we should be like-minded toward one another. Wow. Well, that means that it doesn't matter what your personality is like, that I have, as a Christian, I need to be patient with all people in like-minded manner as God has patience for me. You see, God has a lot of patience. God doesn't run out of patience with us. And that's the great thing about His mercy. You know, I've known people who rebelled from the Lord, and they went a long time before they ever went back to church. And sometimes it's been years. And I want you to know that God was patient with that person or whoever during that time. I was talking to a friend of mine or messaging with a friend of mine last night, and my friend said, "Both of my boys have strayed away from God." And I said, well, I got to think about my message, and I said, "Well, I'll tell you what." I said, "Janine and I will be praying for those boys." And I said, "You just remember what you put into those boys, you put God into them, and it stays with them. They may depart from God, but eventually they will come back to Him." So just be patient. You know, sometimes we get in a hurry and we want things right now. I remember a church I pastored. I mean, I was in there my third week as a pastor, and the deacons wanted to meet one night, and they said, "Okay, preacher, what are we going to do about Sunday school?" I said, "Well, what about it?" "Well, the numbers are dropping." "Okay, well, what do you guys want to do about it?" "Well, you're the preacher." I said, "We're all in this together." I said, "Here's what I suggest we do. Let's pray to the Lord. And let's see what God says. And let's follow His will and His plan, because He will make things happen at the right time." Well, that was the worst thing a human could have said to another human. Really. They were like, "No, we want those numbers to come up now. We need people in those rooms. Our offerings, they're not as good as they used to be. Boy, we're afraid of going broke." Well, you can tell where their eyes were at. You could tell that their patience was shorter than a fuse on a stick of dynamite. And that's how we get today with God. We get impatient. We want things right now. Lord, we want you to move right now, immediately. You remember when Lazarus died, Mary and Martha were like, "Well, Jesus, if you had only been here, you know, 3 days earlier, our brother, he wouldn't have died." But Jesus, He was on time. They grew impatient and they were upset. But Jesus, He's always on time every time. See, one thing we have to get straight in ourselves is that the Lord has a timeline. And his timeline is perfect. Now, like I said, our own stubborn will gets in the way and we want to see things happen right now. You know, we want to see churches grow. We want to see things happen. Well, we've got to wait on God. Wait upon the Lord. If we learn to wait on God, He will renew our strength. God, that's His mercy. That's His patience toward us. He had to wait for Jonah. I mean, you know, God could have easily reached down from heaven and smacked Jonah upside the head and said, "Boy, get your brains together. What's the matter with you?" I know my mama wanted to do that a few times. Pop me upside the head and say, "Boy, what's the matter with you? Get your thoughts in order." But God was patient in waiting for Jonah. He never gave up. If God doesn't give up on us, then we should never give up on Him. I prayed for my mother-in-law for many years to get saved. And Janine prayed for many years from the time she was a child for her mom to get saved. And I would witness to her and she would turn her face to the wall and not even look at me. And I'll tell you this, I had a relationship with my mother-in-law just like that. Very tight. I loved that woman fiercely. And when she turned her face to the wall and wouldn't even look at me and wouldn't talk to me for a few weeks, it hurt. But I knew to trust the Lord. And finally, after all the years of praying, I remember one morning I was praying for her salvation. And the Lord told me, "I want you to call a certain preacher and have him go and visit your mother-in-law." So I said, "Okay, Lord." So I called Brother Donnie Colson. And I said, "Brother Donnie, would you please go see my mother-in-law? She's a bounce back, broke her hip or broke her shoulder, and she needs Jesus. I'm afraid if she dies, she's not going to heaven." He said, "I'll go." That was on a Tuesday morning. Wednesday afternoon, before he went to his evening church, he went by bounce back at Marion, found my mother-in-law sitting at a table by herself, invited himself to sit down and start talking to her. And within just a little bit of time, he asked her, "Would you like to make a decision to follow Christ today?" And she said, "Yes, I would." So see, having patience, I mean, I never gave up on my mother-in-law. I never lost hope. I knew that her day would come, because when we witness to others and show them love and mercy and compassion, those seeds are planted, and those seeds, they take root and they grow, and we will see things happen. God's Word never returns back void to us. And I won't forget when I walked into Bounce Back. I went in there Thursday afternoon, and I said, "Mom, you got something you want to tell me? I heard some good news about you." And I mean, a woman who never smiled, had the biggest smile on her face, and she said, "I'm going to heaven." And I tell you what, the tears flowed. And I remember when I told Janine cried. And on Thanksgiving morning, I thought, this couldn't have been a more fitting time. But Thanksgiving morning, 2019, she stepped into heaven to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." See, God never gave up on her, because God's timeline is everything. Lastly, God is just. 1 John 9 and 10 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. He is the most fair judge, unlike many judges that we have today." See, we're very quick to judge people. We're quick to point a finger when somebody else does something wrong. Say, oh boy, did you hear what Corrine said? Oh, I tell you, she was gossiping in the church. Could you imagine that? And just the day before, you was out there putting someone else down, gossiping and lies and contentions and things like that. Boy, we are. That's how we are. We want to jump on somebody's bandwagon. My granny used to say, you better sweep your own porch before you go next door to your neighbor's house and sweep their porch. Make sure your porch is clean first. I think it kind of goes back when the men brought the woman to Jesus who was caught in adultery, and they said, well, according to the law of Moses, she ought to be stoned. And Jesus, you know, he was writing something in the sand with his finger. I often wondered if he was writing those men's names in their sins. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But something he was writing in the sand. So Jesus looked at those men and he said, all right, the first one of you that doesn't have any sin, cast the first stone. So see, we could be the type of people that we, you know, we could be like Ernest T. Bass's, where we carry rocks around with us and boy, we can't wait to throw them. Or we could drop our rocks and say, I've been there too. Let me extend some love and mercy your way. Oh, I've got people, I know there's people talk about me, and that's all right. Because people's words, they don't hurt me. They don't affect me. They're not going to stop God's love from working in my life. But you know what? I'll pray for them and I'll forgive them. And they may hurt me again. And I'll forgive them. Sometimes the trust may not be there, but I'll love them and forgive them. And I may be a little leery, you know, unless they start showing me that they mean business. But I'll always love people and forgive them no matter what. So if we confess our sins, the Bible says that God's faithful and just to forgive us of every sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All you have to do is ask Him. That's all He wants. God wants communication with us. He wants to have fellowship. But you know, when we have sin in our life, when we're not giving other people a second chance, it disrupts our relationship with the Lord. It really does. And I know that churches aren't perfect and people aren't perfect, but you know what we need to strive for as God's people? We need to strive to love the most unlovable even more. Because when we do, it will change the very fabric of our heart. It'll change that old stony heart to a soft heart. And it'll teach us to love. There's a guy I went to school with, and he was a bully. I weighed 116 pounds. 6 foot tall, 116 pounds. I had to carry weight so the wind wouldn't blow me away. And this guy was about 6'3", almost maybe 6'4" or so. Big old muscled up thing. Well, there wasn't nobody big enough for him, you know. He would never stand up to somebody his size. He always went after the smaller people and picked on them. And I mean, he picked on me through junior high and high school. And finally, the day came to have the blows. And he done something to me, and I said, you know what, Jim? I said, I forgive you. His name was Jim. I said, I forgive you, and Jesus loves you. And he was going, thank you so much. You know, he was being real sarcastic about it. But after we graduated high school, I went into a restaurant one afternoon at lunchtime, and there he sat. And you know what he done? for the first time ever, I've been praying for him. But he turned around and he looked at me, and he was with some girl. And he said, "Hi, Jim, how are you doing?" I thought, wow. I said, "Well, I'm good." I said, "How are you?" He said, "I'm fine." And he looked at the young lady he was with. He said, "This is my friend Jim. We went to school together." I thought, wow. I could have been hateful and negative and rude to him. I was a few times. I really was. I wasn't a Christian. But after I got saved, I learned how to love him. I learned how to be compassionate. There's a lot of people in this world that are like that. But we have to extend love and mercy. We have to give them a second chance, just as God gives us second chances.